Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Old Testament reading for this day, the 21st, Sunday after Pentecost. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Jacob. This is God's word. What does it mean to really live? I don't mean just waking up each day and taking another breath and doing the day in, day out. I mean to really live. You know, carpe diem, seize the day. I think that's probably the favorite tattoo of millennials that they post pictures of on Instagram. It's carpe diem, seize the day, right? Are you doing that? Are you seizing the day? Are you living life? What does that mean to live life to the fullest? I think maybe there's some of that thinking going on in my mind when I went into missionary service, something that growing up I never thought I would want to do, but it kind of dawned on me that, boy, there's a whole bunch of the world I haven't seen. I mean, apart from bringing the gospel of Jesus to people who need to hear it, there's just so much of the world to experience. I mean, I grew up, we didn't really travel a whole lot when I was a kid. Vacations were pretty much going up to Grand Marais up on Lake Superior. That was about it. In fact, it was 2011 when Heather and I drove down to Texas for the National Lutherans for Life Conference. Not kidding, on that trip, I about doubled the number of states that I had visited. As of 2013, I had never been on an airplane in my entire life. Glad to say I've changed that. But there was so much of the world to be seen, to be experienced. And, you know, I think that was one of the things we wanted to give our children when we moved down to Puerto Rico, was experiencing a different culture, seeing the beautiful beaches of the world and speaking a different language and seeing people different than yourself, living life, seizing the day. So I want to ask you, what does it mean to truly live? And are you living yet? Well, Holy Scripture tells us that life is best lived when you enjoy a relationship with the one who created you, the Lord your God. The prophet Amos this morning tells us to seek the Lord that you and I might live. In other words, don't just sit tight where you are. Live. Seek to know the Lord better. Seek to know His word. Seek to do His will. And in that, we will truly be living life. Well, unfortunately, we're all too comfortable to just sit where we are. In other words, we think, given my hour in church, I've put my envelope in the plate, I've done my part. Now I can get on with my life and everything else I've been doing. It was kind of the mindset in Israel back in Amos's day. I'm a child of Israel. I'm one of God's covenant people. Everything is fine. The people of Israel forgot about that relationship with God their creator, the one who had redeemed them from Egypt, brought them out of slavery into a land of their own. They ignored the fact that God wanted to come to them and shower them with love and mercy, to shower His gifts upon them. They took it all for granted. So Amos came to speak a very harsh word to them. Seek the Lord and live, lest He break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. Wasn't enough to just be an Israelite. They neglected to seek out the gifts of love and forgiveness that God wanted to give him. They followed their own ways of living. They chased after the false gods of the nations around them, but they figured, I'm an Israelite, so everything's good. Jesus met a similar man in our gospel this morning. Good teacher, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Said he kept all the commandments, figured he'd done his part. But he lacked knowing a God who gives gifts of mercy and forgiveness. He didn't want to give up all his wealth and possessions to seek after the Lord and live. Had that young man followed after Jesus, he would have learned that he had not actually kept the commandments. He did not have a relationship with God. He would have learned that in Christ, the riches of forgiveness, life, and salvation are purchased at the cross. He would have experienced life as he never knew it possible. He would have experienced his life as one of receiving God's gifts continually, poured out on poor, miserable sinners. Now, you might not have great possessions like that man in today's holy gospel. Although each and every one of us has more than we realize. It's said that if you have a savings account, never mind how much is actually in it, if you have a savings account, you're among the wealthiest 25% in the entire world. But for the sake of discussion, let's consider ourselves as those people who don't have great possessions. How many of us are content where we are? How many of us think we've given our part and that's enough? Is the Lord God and His Son Jesus Christ something that we seek after? Or do we clock in at 9 a.m. on Sunday, clock out an hour 15 later, and consider the job done? We all know as Christians the most important relationship that exists is the one we have with God and His Son Jesus. But how many of us will spend more time today focusing on our relationship with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers than we will on our relationship with God? Sorry, tomorrow. They play on Monday night this week. How many of us will spend more time wrapped up and preoccupied with midterm elections than having a concern about the Word of God? You see, you might not think you have possessions, but every one of you and me as well, we all have something that we seek out more than the Lord God who redeems us. It could be happiness, it could be love, it could be appreciation, it could be any number of things that you seek after more than the Lord your God. You see, when you value a relationship, you can't help but immerse yourself in it. And those of you who are parents understand this, because we know everything about our children. At least if we're paying attention, I should think we know a lot about them. If you have children, you can probably name all of their birthdays. You can tell me what their favorite foods are and what foods they don't like. You know when something is wrong with them, even if they don't say it. And if you don't have children, maybe it's a spouse or a fiancé, or maybe you're widowed and it was your spouse before they passed away, someone who's important to you. And so knowing about them is extremely important. When something is important to you, your mind, your heart, your body reflect that importance. Do you describe your relationship with God in the same way? How many of you can name the Ten Commandments? If I were to ask you right now, what's the seventh commandment? How many of you know just kind of the basic stuff about Jesus? How many of you know what the Bible says about baptism, the Lord's Supper? We call this basic stuff the catechism. It's not rocket science. It's not super deep theology. It's just basic things about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people can name the Packers record for each of the last 50 seasons, but they can't tell you the fourth commandment. Or how many people know who's running for some little seat in some little district down in the lower peninsula of Michigan, but they can't tell you what the Bible says about the Lord's Supper? You see, all of us have fallen short in this regard. We have not sought after the Lord that we might truly live. We might think we're living life to the fullest, but you know what? It has nothing to do with taking an exotic vacation or skydiving off an airplane or eating exotic foods. It has everything to do with seeking after God's word and God's gifts. The very first commandment says, you shall have no other gods. Martin Luther explained it this way. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And you and I are all guilty of making everything but the Word of God the number one thing in our lives. We're guilty of not teaching our children that this is the number one thing in their lives. As those who have not sought the Lord to live, we are those deserving of the kind of judgment that God spoke about through Amos. But as those who find the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ and his death for you and me, life is given to us anew. You see, the thing about life is that you can't get life for yourself, can you? A baby can't make a decision to be born of its parents, and a dead person can't decide, I'm going to get up and live. Every one of us here who received faith in Christ in holy baptism, every one of us who confessed our sins this morning before this altar, as we come before the altar to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we've been given the gift of life. We are raised from the dead, even as Christ is raised from the dead. That's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 6. As those who have been raised from the dead, you and I now live. And we continue to live as those receiving life and more life. And God doesn't give you life because you know all the commandments or because you can recite a lot of Bible verses. He doesn't give you life because you do a bunch of good things. The man in today's gospel claimed to have kept all of the commandments. But Jesus wanted him to follow, to seek mercy and forgiveness by which we have life. The big misconception in the church today that following God means I have to give up all my possessions. I have to move to a mission field. I have to go somewhere and do some big thing to show God that I love him. Well, there were lots of people who believed in Christ who didn't follow him everywhere he went in the Gospels. Do you see Jesus as your source of life? The one who gives you life and more life and even more life. So much life that there's never too much of it. Have you ever enjoyed something that you just can't get enough of? As you can tell, I'm the kind of guy who probably eats too much and probably doesn't know when to stop when I should. There's great foods out there and things to enjoy that you can't get enough of. I'm reminded of, this is great when I can tell these stories back here because you all kind of know them already. Remember at the old Braumart Theater back when they had Green River? Who remembers Green River? Okay, Green River was this pop, this fountain drink you could only get at the Braumart Theater. And I saw Jessica back there kind of nodding. She knows what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. It's this like nuclear green stuff, like sickly sweet, but it was awesome. And it was the only place, you couldn't buy it in a bottle at the store. You couldn't get it anywhere, just at the Braumart Theater. And then the Braumart stopped working as a movie theater when Tri-City Cinema 8 opened, no more Green River. My brother Brad told me when he was working shortly after high school for Peninsula Beverage, and I don't know if he might have just been pulling my leg on this, but he said that when he worked for Peninsula Beverage in the employee lounge there, they had a fountain of Green River, a fountain drink machine set up so all the employees could drink as much Green River as they wanted. And I thought, that's awesome. Maybe there's something you can think of that you can just never, ever get enough of. It can be a food or a beverage or something, but it can be time with a family member, a friend, that you just never have enough time with them. It could be conversation with a family member and catching up and you just don't want it to end. It can be seeing your kids do something and that experience, you just can't get enough of it. Dear friends in Christ, that is how our God invites you to view the life that is in Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, his blood poured out for you. Forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, all of these things. That's what it means to seek after the Lord. Not to throw away everything you have, but to know the depth of the love of the Lord your God. And that's the thing. His love is so deep and so great, you can never reach the bottoms of its depth. You can never plumb all the depths of God's love for you. But by God, he wants you to try to know his love. To know how much he gives for you. You can never eat the body of Christ and drink his blood enough. You can never read his word enough. You can never learn about him enough. You can never hear that wonderful word of forgiveness enough. Because through all these things, we seek the Lord and we live. And through all these things, we receive true life. Not as the world offers it, but as God gives it. Life that lasts for eternity. So, are you living yet? True life comes from seeking the Lord God who gives us his gifts. There is nothing God wants to do more than to give you life. He wants nothing more than to tell you that your sins are forgiven. Remember in Luke 15, when the shepherd goes looking after the one sheep that was lost, leaves the 99 to find the one that was lost. And Jesus says, I tell you, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. That's what gives God joy. When sinners seek his love and seek his forgiveness and seek life. Seek this life. Seek it often. Seek it daily. Seek it in everything you do, because your Lord Jesus Christ has died to give you life and more life and even more life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.